All right, we're back in episode 4 in our study called Listen Up, Applying Biblical Wisdom to Everyday Life. My name is Lena, and welcome back to Morning Minutes. In episode 4, 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25, I've titled this teaching Upside Down Thinking. I've decided in order to stay close to the 5-minute mark, I've got to cut down my introductory rambling. So without further ado, let me read you these verses. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God that through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, I love these verses, a reminder of where our power lies. But you also see this upside down thinking. And if you know anything about the gospel, if you know anything about salvation and God's ways, it is all upside down. The weak is strong, the last is first, the servant is the leader, and on and on. But here in these verses, let me give you three thoughts to sort of gel the verses and what Paul is leading into. Remember, he is writing to a church that is corroded with sin. And one of the issues that they had was this divisions in the church. And he's now calling on God's wisdom and God's power, and not so much people and leaders and celebrities as the influencers, but God's word through what often looks weak and insignificant. And yet the message of the gospel is powerful in and of itself. And so, number one, it is no accident that God uses the weakest instrument to show his strength. Now, what is the weakest instrument? Well, the cross. It is no accident. We're talking about upside down thinking. And so of all the ways that Jesus could have died, he chose the weakest way. He came, by the way, he was the king. In Philippians 2, we're told that he humbled himself and became a servant. And this servant would die on the weakest symbol, basically, the cross. And God has never resorted to strength to achieve his purposes. Even on the cross, they said to him, you know, if you're really God, like bring the legions and of angels and save yourself. And of course, he had come to die in order to save us, to pay the penalty for our sins. That's the message of the gospel. And he did not resort to strength, but in his weakness, he died and then rose again powerfully to achieve his purposes of salvation and redemption. So God became man as proof that weakness is the way. Not weakness for the sake of weakness, but weakness to glorify God's strength in and through us. So it is no accident that God uses the weakest instrument to show his strength. It is no accident, number two, that left to ourselves, we would never understand the cross. And so here he's making this compelling argument that, you know, you've got the Jews and you've got the Gentiles, and they each have a way of thinking. And to both of them, the cross looks silly. Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. So it makes illogical sense to the Gentiles. In and of itself, it seems silly. It's a stumbling block to Jews who are looking for awesome signs of God's power. And yet here's this cross. Left to ourselves, we would never understand it, but God is the one who saves. His grace is the one that unveils our eyes to see this salvation. And so if you're saved, if you're a follower of Jesus, you understand that we cannot make ourselves believe, that there is a response to what God is doing, but that deep, at the end of the day, deep in our hearts, we know that left to ourselves, we could never receive this cross. God has opened our eyes and enlightened our hearts in order to understand. We are not meant to understand the cross without the illumination of the Spirit. See, we are not meant to figure God out. So many people say, well, I can't figure God out, therefore I'm not going to believe him. Faith trusts sometimes even without figuring out all of the details. But we believe because we're called to believe. And this sometimes is a hard truth to understand. But nonetheless, study the Word of God and you'll see that it is God who calls us to salvation and gives us the grace to believe. So it is no accident that left ourselves, we would never understand the cross. And thirdly, it is no accident that the most obvious truth can stump the deepest thinker. Again, an upside down way of God, highlighting not our intelligence, not our strength, but his awesome wisdom. And so the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisest man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The cross is a stumbling block until you receive its truth, and the cross is ridiculous until you embrace its power. So if you're a Christian today, you believe that, you're probably high-fiving and rejoicing and settling your hearts on these truths. If you need encouragement in your life, if you need hope in your life, then go for no further than resting your meditations today on the cross of Jesus and all God accomplished in what looks like the weakest sign on the face of this planet. And yet God turned things around, and by his power, he steps into our weaknesses and allows us to see. And so no wonder we say it is an awesome thing to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. It might look like upside down thinking, but it is wisdom according to God's word. Love you guys, and I'll catch you again tomorrow.